Hi, it's Pete Norstead here, and welcome to another Trade on Sports and Focused on Football, a better podcast. We've got six matches this midweek, and as usual, I'm joined by Jimmy Kempton. How are you doing, Jimmy?
Excellent, thank you, Peter. How was your weekend? Comfortable in the knowledge that Peterborough are in the playoffs?
Yes, well, I mean, I've come down with some sort of chest infection, and I thought they did quite well. And obviously, Lincoln now, they thanks to Oxford, I never thought that Oxford would drop points after thrashing us 5-0, but yes, they did on those two games, and your fate's in your own hands now.
Certainly is. Portsmouth at home, 12:30 kickoff. A little bit surprised it might not have been the Sky game that was selected, but hey, no. Who knows? Who cares, really? We win and we're in, Peter. But I do see Barnsley have sat their manager today. A team flying high relatively in the league table in fifth decide to sack their manager. Sounds a bit like panic stations to me.
Yes, it doesn't sound good, does it? I think they've only got 1 point in the last five matches or something. So they got Northampton at home Saturday. You would expect them to win that, wouldn't you? But you never know, do you?
You would now. They've got a new manager or a non-existent manager bounce. But it's all about what we do, Peter. And I'm talking about it's all about what we do. Did you see any of that Cup semi-final yesterday afternoon?
Crikey. I couldn't believe it, to be quite honest. I thought, firstly, let's get the positives out of the way. Great game. Great spectacle, you know.
Incredible. It had everything, didn't it?
I just can't believe the VAR certainly saps the soul out of it. I thought that this offside decision ruined the game for everybody in that stadium. And I'm talking about the Manchester United fans as well, because, you know, obviously that's a great occasion and an incredible comeback, probably the biggest comeback of all time in FA Cup history. And you know, to have it wiped off like that is just ridiculous, in my opinion. But
so we talk about, whenever they go to VAR, right, and this is what I can't work out, they always talk about, is it a clear and obvious error? And to me, that linesman's decision isn't a clear and obvious error. You are then relying on somehow technology telling us, without any technology in somebody's foot, exactly the moment the ball is struck, and then drawing on lines that aren't like goal line technology where there's clear and specific lines you can use on the pitch. You're kind of saying that the man in the VAR truck is right and the man running the line is wrong when they're both using the same skills, aren't they?
It's just mad, isn't it? It's mental.
And you're talking about millimetres. It's one just way or the other. I genuinely don't get it. And, you know, it, like you say, it's sapping the energy out of stadiums. People don't know if they can celebrate. Well, that's one reason Lincoln have decided never to get into the Premier League, Pete. Just so we don't.
Well, I mean, you think though? You imagine that if that was a non VAR game, what a game that would be, wouldn't it? What a game!
It would be truly incredible. And you know, I'll tell you what, Pete, I'm going to get a bit of ammo for this, but people used to laugh at me when I used to talk about Sepp Blatter, and you can say what you like about Sepp Blatter, and many people do, but he always had the philosophy that the World Cup final should be played to the same laws as a game on the Sunday League match. And for many, many years, that was the case, wasn't it?
Yes.
There was things coming in tennis, Hawkeye, you're having DRS in cricket. Yet football, for a long time, stayed in the past, and it got battered for that. Oh, you're not keeping up with technology, and, you know, look at all this that you're missing out on, wrong decisions and everything. And now look where we are.
Yeah, you've got to be, you, like I say, I think they've got to be very careful. They've got to be very careful, because who's going to be watching these? You know, who's going to be paying the TV subscriptions or whatever when this is happening game after game? And
but it makes it laughable. And then you end up with people like Mark Clattenburg sat in the bloody stands with his little iPad on, making his notes, and then 10 minutes after a game, releasing statements against the VAR people or whatever. The game's gone, Peter. I've said that about 10 times in the last 10 years we've been doing this podcast, but it really seems to be getting further and further away from the game we grew up loving, in a way.
I mean, what was that game earlier in the season? Was it Spurs versus Liverpool or something? Where Liverpool scored and it was disallowed, and or it should have stood, or do you remember that?
I can't really remember. There's been so many just egregious decisions, and it's just getting, because where do you draw the line? How far do you pull the game back? I mean, the ball can be in play for 3 minutes at a time. So if there's a foul, 2 minutes, 50 seconds.
Well, they made a mistake, didn't they? And the goal should have stood, shouldn't it? And it was the mistake of the VAR people saying, oh, yeah, he said the wrong thing to the bloke.
Yeah, I mean, just nonsense. I mean, you watch rugby league and it is so clear on rugby league, and they're held to account, and they talk through.
Yeah,
they talk about give me another camera angle and all that.
Yeah, they it's a different type of sports, aren't they? Though different types. So I can understand sort of cricket and rugby. I sort of get it, but it's stop start, isn't it?
It is, but it's still at the end of the day, you're examining a decision that an umpire has made or an official has made in good faith, and then re-examining it against the picture footage that the person outside of the ground's looking at. So, hey, Pete, we've rambled on here for 6.5 minutes. I think the listeners might be wanting to know about Arsenal-Chelsea.
Yes, we better get on with this then, yeah. Arsenal-Chelsea. Right, I've priced this off minus one goal. The line has moved today to minus 1.25. Anyway, Arsenal-Chelsea, recent head-to-heads. Arsenal 1-4 has been 1-draw, Chelsea 1-3. When minus one goal, Arsenal's record reads 1-8, drawn 2, not lost nought. 6 of the 8 victories were by 2 or more goals, coming for 2-0 victory away at Wolves. Good win that was for Arsenal. Chelsea, when they're plus one goal, they've lost all 6 matches, and 5 of the 6 they've lost by 2 goals, coming off a good 6-0 victory at home to Everton. Arsenal won 11 of their last 13. They need to win these games. Probably why the line is as it is. Minus one goal, 298 matches, 116 home, 75 push, 107 away. Morais is suggesting value Arsenal minus one. Now it's very small value Arsenal minus 1.25 in a must-win match.
Well, I think some of this money that's come for Arsenal today is based on the news that Cole Palmer is quite doubtful for this game, and any loss of that talented young player for Chelsea is really going to harm them. I mean, it's a relatively small sample size this season, but Chelsea average 0.17 points lower when Palmer doesn't play, and his importance to Poch's side has only increased game by game, to be honest, and that masterclass he gave against Everton last time out in the league shows just what a true talent he is. Top 6 against mid-third, and that's all he can really class Chelsea as they sit beneath West Ham in the table. Top 6 against mid-third, win 69% of games. That's a true price of 1.45, with 44% of games being won by 2 or more goals. For me, this is very much team sheet based. If Palmer plays, it will probably be a no bet for me. But I'll tell you what, Pete, if Cole Palmer doesn't make the starting lineup for Chelsea, and if there is any doubt over him at this stage of the season, why would Chelsea risk him? I would actually be all over Arsenal here, because Chelsea have conceded 52 goals this season, Pete, on a red hot night at the Emirates, local derby, against an uncertain back line of Chelsea. I can see Arsenal scoring 2 or 3, to be honest, mate.
Yeah, looking at the, you know, obviously the stats, when Chelsea are plus one goal or over away from home, they don't do well. So obviously the bookmakers know something we possibly don't anyway. Wolves-Bournemouth next. Scratch, recent heads, Wolves have 1-2, Bournemouth 1-1. When off scratch at home, Wolves' record reads 1-4, drawn 2, lost 4, come up for 2-0 defeats at home to Arsenal. Bournemouth, when they're off scratch away from home, 1-4, drawn 1, lost 3, come up for 3-1 defeats away at Villa. 3 or more goals have been seen in 6 of Bournemouth's last 7. When looking at scratch, we've had 275 matches, 90 home, 87 push, 98 away. My rating is suggesting very good value, Wolves. And we cashed in for a Villa against Bournemouth yesterday. And I think we may cash in again on Wednesday, Wolves versus Bournemouth with Wolves off scratch.
Yeah, definitely. I can't really understand why Bournemouth are 1.86 on this line. It seems a bit silly to me. Now, I would still probably have a little bit of a problem if the prices were flip-flopped and it was Wolves at 1.86 and not favoured by a quarter of a goal. I think Wolves are a very underrated side. They've lost back-to-back home games against Arsenal and West Ham, so they will be desperate to bounce back here. They come into this game sat 1 point above Bournemouth in the league standings, yet they're the underdogs. Wolves are permanently underrated to me. And mid-third sides win 31% of games away to mid-third sides. So you could make the case that, you know, just the raw stats, Bournemouth are, you know, it's not too much of a stretch to make this line where it is. But to have Bournemouth as favourites, Pete, and depending on what you want to do, whether you want to take that extra value of taking Wolves quite a bit above even money off scratch, or I'm probably actually going to buy the quarter of a goal, Pete, and you can get Wolves at 1.74 plus a quarter of a goal for this game. I know we don't tend to like to go below the 1.80, but to think that Wolves can just avoid defeat and you can you know, cash a winning ticket here does really appeal to me. So, but for the purposes of the pod, I'll take Wolves off scratch.
Next up, we're going Crystal Palace, Newcastle. Again, this game's off scratch. Recent head-to-heads, Palace have won 2. There's been 4 draws. Newcastle have won 1. Interestingly, Newcastle have only won 1, but they've been undefeated against Palace in the last 6 in all competitions. Crystal Palace, when scratch off at home, 1-4, drawn 3, lost 3, coming off a very good 5-2 victory at home to West Ham. Newcastle, when they're scratch away from home, 1-1, drawn 0, lost 4, coming off a very good 4-0 victory at home to Spurs. Scratch, as we said before, 275 matches, 90 home, 87 bush, 98 away. My rating's suggesting very good value Newcastle, and I'm going to go with that.
Well, it doesn't surprise me in a way, Peter, that your stats point to Newcastle. And I'll tell you why. Because all season, I've been sat here thinking, oh, I quite like Palace. You know, they're a much different side now to what they were under Roy Hodgson. Much more entertaining to watch. Blah-de-blah, blah-de-blah. Looking at the league table, doesn't appear to be any difference. They're sat in 14th spot. They've scored a few more goals than they usually do, but they've still only netted 42 in 33 games. And as you mentioned, they scored 5 of them in the last game. So they're sat in 14th spot. In my mind, I'm thinking they're a much better, much different outfit than they have been and more reliable and impressive to watch. But last 5 seasons, they finished 12th, 14th, 14th, 12th and 11th. They're actually 6 points adrift of Bournemouth. The likelihood is, Pete, they're going to finish 14th or lower. So are they any better? Probably not. And Newcastle have kept 4 consecutive clean sheets against Palace. You referenced that they're unbeaten in the last 6, Newcastle, in all competitions against them. So, yeah, now the line's trended from Newcastle minus a quarter to scratch. I'm quite happy to suggest the punters take a little bit of Newcastle on the scratch line. And it wouldn't surprise me, Pete, if they won the game outright.
No. Everton against Liverpool next. Plus 1.25 goals here. Recent head-to-heads. Everton 1-0. There's been 6 draws. Liverpool are 1-2. Indeed, Liverpool have only lost 1 of 29 against Everton in all competitions. That's an incredible record when you think about it. Again, you know, such tight rival. Mind you, there have been quite a few draws as those head-to-heads have seen. Everton, when they're plus 1.25, they've only been that once and they lost the game by 2 or more goals. And they're coming off a 2-0 victory home to Forest. Liverpool, when they're minus 1.25 away, as you'd expect, good record. 1-8, drawn 0, lost 2. Only three of the eight, though, they won by 2 or more goals. Coming off the 3-1 victory away at Fulham. Plus 1.25 goals, 52 matches, 15 home, 22 half win, 15 loss. So 26 place, 15. Very small value, Everton, my rating's suggesting.
Now it's trended to 1.25, Pete. It doesn't surprise me that your ratings suggest the values with Everton. I mean, 4 of the last 5 meetings of the sides at Goodison Park have ended all square. But what I'd say about that is that none of those have taken place at the back end of a big season like this when Liverpool have to win. And I think that victory last time out for Everton has put a little bit of a cushion between them and the, you know, the bottom three? And is there going to be that same freneticism with regards to the way Everton play? Possibly not. Now, this isn't a derby game where you think they have to take something from, and they could even relax a little bit more in this game, Everton. And I'm not sure the way Sean Dyche wants his sides to play, relaxation actually helps them. So, yes, they're 5 points clear of Luton with a game in hand. But if I was wanting to back Everton plus 1.25, I'd probably want them a little bit more in the mire here, Pete. So, for the purposes of the podcast, I'm actually going to take Liverpool minus 1.25. I think they'll get the job done.
Next up, Man United against Sheffield United. The line has moved from minus 1.75 to minus 1.5. I've priced this up at minus 1.75. Recent head-to-heads, Man United have won one, Sheffield United have won one. We're minus 1.75 at home. United's record reads 1-6, drawn 4, lost 0. Two of the six victories by three or more goals, coming off a 2-2 draw away at Bournemouth. Sheffield United, when they're plus 1.75, 1-0, drawn 1, lost 3. None of the three defeats, though, were by three or more goals, coming up a 4-1 defeat at home to Burnley. Sheffield United have conceded at least 2 in their last 7. My ratings, you know, were suggesting small value, Man United minus 1.75. Now it's saying the value is certainly with Manchester United.
Yeah, I think you've got to take Manchester United here out of the two bets, as you alluded to there, Pete. Sheffield United concede a lot of goals, and top six against bottom six, 54% of games have been won by 2 or more goals for the home side. Hey, did you see that clown Anthony at the end of the game yesterday, Peter?
Oh God, yeah, unbelievable.
I've never quite seen anything like it in all my life. The man's, for a start, if I played like he did, I would just be walking off and be thankful I was getting a paycheck every week for Manchester because he's bleeding useless. And that kind of, I don't want to sort of categorise all Man United players or the atmosphere around Manchester United, but that kind of says something about what they think of themselves. So I would never sort of really rely on this Man United team to beat anyone by margin. But I think if you did want to bet this game, you've got to side with the home side minus 1.5.
I'll tell you what, going back to that game again, I have to say, I thought the Manchester United players conducted themselves on the whole pretty well after that game.
Yeah, bar Anthony. I saw Harry Maguire going round and shaking hands.
Yeah, they were, like you say, they were pleased to get out of there, weren't they?
Yeah, the majority of them showed the humility that they should do when they were 3-0 up against a championship side. And they, as we said earlier, should have gone out of the game 4-3. So, yeah, fair play to those. Some of them have been brought up the Manchester United way. Some of the players that they've brought in really have a self-inflated view of themselves. Mind you, I think their performances don't deserve.
Yeah, I think as well, I thought the supporters as well, you know, we're quite good as well.
It's easy to be gracious when you find a way to sneak through, though, Peter, isn't it?
Yes. Right, Brighton Man City finally. This is on Thursday night. Plus 1.25 goals. Recent head-to-heads, Brighton have 1-1. There's been 1 draw. Manchester City have 1-4. When plus 1.25 goals, Brighton have only played once at home and they lost that, and they lost by 2 goals. And they cut off a 1-0 draw away at Burnley. Man City, when they're minus 1.25 away from home, 1-7 drawn, 1-lost 2. Two of the 7 victories were by 2 or more goals, coming up a very good 5-1 victory at home to Luton. Man City have scored at least 4 in their last 3. Plus 1.25 goals, 52 matches, 15 home, 22 half win, 15 loss. That makes 26 play 15. Value Brighton are rating suggesting.
Well, only Manchester City and Liverpool have lost less games than Brighton at home this season. Brighton have gone 7-6-2. Now, admittedly, those 2 defeats came at the hands of Arsenal and West Ham, and both of those losses, they lost by 2 or more goals. So it says if they're going to lose the game, they'll probably lose by 2, or, you know, that small sample size there. But they've avoided defeat in 13 of the home games this season, despite, by sort of my thoughts, them not having a great season. They're going to finish probably 10th. They could actually finish as low as 13th, Brighton. And given what we thought of them and the high hopes and, you know, the European campaign that's obviously drained a lot out of them, to think that a team that's, you know, going to finish 13th could be priced just plus one and a quarter here, you'd probably think there's quite a bit of value in City here, because they're the team that's going to be motivated. They're the team that's going to be coming forward with something to play for. I mean, Brighton, let's be honest, Pete, they've got 6 games to go. They've had a very long season. If Man City really step it up, have they got the stomach for the fight? I'm not convinced they have. So I'll take City minus one and a quarter here.
Right, I've got 2 bets this midweek round. I'm going to go Wolves off scratch and Newcastle off scratch.
Well, I've changed my mind mid-podcast, Pete, which is a bit naughty of me. I know I said earlier I'll take Wolves off scratch, but I'm desperate to get that plus quarter of a goal. So I'm going to buy that quarter of a goal and take Wolves plus a quarter at 1.74. And then I'm going to trust Pep and his men on the road on Thursday night, standalone game. Must-win game for Man City. I don't see them letting us down, so I'm going to take Manchester City minus one and a quarter away to Brighton. Both for 2 points.
Yeah, I'm going 2 points on mine as well. Right, we shall be back, well, Friday morning for the weekend action, and have a good midweek, everybody.
Best of luck, everybody.